Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace. I'm Pastor Brett Walker. We take a slight departure from our sermon series, Theology for Ministry, to look at some of the parables of Jesus that describe the kingdom of heaven. Jesus used these simple stories to illustrate what the kingdom of heaven is like to those of us who do not have the benefit of seeing it for ourselves, at least not yet. Of course, we can trust the words of Christ as authoritative in this regard because he had firsthand knowledge of the kingdom of heaven himself. So grab your Bible, turn it to Matthew chapter 13, and join us as we look at what it means to be the pearl of great price.
Well, I'm gonna talk without the microphone because the two churches that I serve, they don't have a microphone, so I have to talk real loud anyway. So if I use the microphone, I might just blow everybody out of the room. So, but what I'm going to do today, I want to read to you from a couple of familiar parables of Jesus. This is from Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to read 31 to 33, and then 44 to 52. So let me read from the Word of God for us today. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake he unto them, The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchantman seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus saith unto them, Have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, Yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, Therefore, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. May God pour out his blessing upon this, the reading of his holy word. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be found acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I had a friend in college who wanted to buy a Mustang. Now, you know what a Mustang is, right? I'm not talking about the horse. I'm talking about a Ford Mustang. And I mean, he wanted a particular model of Ford Mustang. He wanted a 1968 Ford Mustang, and he wanted the fastback model. Now, I'm not really well-versed in cars. I just remember him talking about this car. When he was living in Florida, he found this particular car in the local paper was being advertised, and he went to go see it. And it was a beautiful car. It was an elderly gentleman who kept it in a garage. And he said it was just gorgeous. The paint on it was perfect. The seats, the upholstery, everything was like in mint condition. It was just gorgeous. And he said, he never asked the man to turn the car on, but he said, you know, I want to come back next week and buy this car. Now, he didn't have the money that the guy was asking for the car. So he took some of his old college books and he took some of his old possessions that he could find that would people would give him money for. And he sold those things to buy this car. So he told his father, he said, I need a ride to go pick up this car and then I will drive it home. And his father said, this is a terrible idea. Did you even listen to the car? Did you drive the car at all? And he says, no, it was beautiful. It was in perfect condition. You have no idea. This guy has kept it in a garage for so many years. So my friend, he went on the day to pick up this car. And it was late afternoon in Florida. And if you know anything about Florida, you know that in the late afternoon, storms tend to suddenly kick up. Very hard, rainy storms. But he drove in and his dad dropped him off. And his dad had also picked up another woman at the airport, his aunt. And they were in the Mustang now together and driving home. Well, the first thing he noticed when he turned it over, it sounded great. If you've ever heard a muscle car has kind of a rumble to it, you know? And he said, it sounded great. And so he put it in drive, and the first thing he noticed when he stepped on the gas, it went right forward. And he said, oh, this is going to be great. This is going to be awesome. And now it was Florida in mid-afternoon in the summer, so he wanted to turn the AC on. And when he turned on the AC, a puff of black smoke came out. And he said, okay, so the AC doesn't work. We can just roll down the windows. And he rolled down the windows. And he said, it doesn't matter. The car is still awesome, you know. And as he was driving along, he started to notice that his feet were wet. And he looked down, and his feet, he was standing in a puddle of antifreeze. The antifreeze was actually pouring into the bottom of the car. And he said, it doesn't matter. The car is awesome. The car is great, you know. And then, of course, as it does in mid-afternoon in Florida, it started to rain. And the first thing he noticed when it started to rain was that the rain was actually coming through the roof onto his head. And he's just driving his car going, oh, it doesn't matter. You know, that's an old car. And by the time he got home, his feet were soaked in antifreeze. His head was soaked from the rain. He was pouring down sweat because it was hot outside. He made a very foolish decision purchasing this car. But what he did was he wanted that car so badly. He was willing to part with other things in order to get that car. Now, that brings us to this text. Jesus tells us a couple of parables about what the kingdom of heaven is like. And I think it's important to read these words. I love, you know, I consider the Bible to be the complete word of God. And every word in it, both the red words and the black words, are equally important. But whenever I see the red words, I know that it's Jesus talking. And so I tend to take a little bit more notice. But this is what Jesus said. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. A mustard seed, if you've ever seen it, is so tiny, it almost looks like a little grain of sand. It's very, very small. And what Jesus was saying is, it doesn't matter how small it starts. What matters is, how does it finish? How does it finish? He says, the kingdom of heaven may start small, but it will finish huge. And the birds of the air will nest in it. And he's talking about gathering all of us to the kingdom of heaven. He says, the next parable, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Now, leaven, of course, is yeast. And when you put yeast into bread dough, you don't put a whole lot. One of the things that my wife recently purchased was a bread machine, and she loves making bread. She likes to make the bread for the communion service every month. And one thing that she bought was a little jar of bread machine yeast, special yeast for the bread machine itself. And it's active yeast. And she puts in just a little bit, but it's just enough that it expands the whole bread and it gets throughout the whole bread. And that's what Jesus is saying. Even though it's just a little bit, it permeates everywhere. Think about how the church of God, think of how the church of Christ started. It started small with just those 12 disciples. And it started with just the people in the upper room who were fearing for their lives when Jesus had been taken up into the clouds. And on that Pentecost Sunday, they went out and they told the good news of Jesus Christ to everybody. And 3,000 people were baptized that day. 3,000. They started small, but they quickly took a great number of people. And in the book of Acts, it tells us that the Lord was adding to their numbers every single day. That's how the kingdom of heaven works. It starts small, it grows very quickly, and it grows large. And he says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Man, he uses the story of a man who finds a treasure in a field. We don't know what that treasure was, but it was a treasure that was so great that he hid it, and he went and he sold everything he had, all his worldly possessions, to buy the field. To buy the field. Not to buy the treasure, but to buy the field that contained the treasure. To buy the field. Because when we discover the kingdom of heaven, when we discover it for ourselves, nothing else matters. Our worldly possessions, all of those things pale in comparison to what God has to offer for each and every one of us. We sometimes think of our lives as being the most important thing, and everything that we do on this earth is so important. But we live on this earth, what, 80, 90, 100 years? Mildred Bell just turned, what, 106, 105? 108. 108 years. But what is 108 years compared to all of eternity that we will spend with God? Yet most of the people who live on this planet, most of the people live for that 108 years that they live here and not for the eternity that comes after. And that's the important thing, because that's where we're going to spend all of our time. That's where we're going to be with God always. We live for that eternity. And that's what Jesus is saying. The worldly possessions of that man didn't matter to him. He gave up everything so that he could have that treasure in that field. And then he says again, the kingdom is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. That pearl was so valuable. That pearl was so valuable that he sold everything to get it. But pay attention to what he says. He doesn't say that the kingdom of heaven is like that pearl. He doesn't say that the kingdom of heaven is the pearl of great price. No. He says the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man. The merchant man is the kingdom of heaven. Well, how does that work? God gave his only son for the world. God saw And we are the pearl of great price. We are the pearl of great price. And he gave all that he had. He gave his only son to die on the cross for us. That's very good news. It's very good news. It means we are of value in God's eyes. When God looks at us, he sees that pearl of great price and he gives all that he has to obtain us, to gather us. He had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all he had and bought it. We are that pearl of great price. And then he says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down, and he gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. Here Jesus is talking about a very dire prediction of what will happen in the world to come. He says, so shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Where do we get our image of hell? Where do we understand what hell is? Because Jesus talked about it as a furnace of fire. He says the angels will come and they'll separate the good from the bad, the wicked from the just. The wicked from the just. And what's the difference? Can wicked people do good things? Absolutely. Can wicked people live good lives? Yes. But what makes the just the just? The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. We who are called to be the chosen among God's people, we live by faith. That it's not us. It's not the things that we do. It's not the good things that we do that saves us. It's what God did for us. We are that pearl of great price. We are the ones who God gave everything. He gave his only son to be with us so that he may gather us and keep us to him. Jesus said to them, have ye understood all these things? And they said unto him, yea, Lord. Then he says, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Now he says, every scribe, the people who transpose these words, all these words that have been written down for us throughout the ages, God's holy word, which has been given to us over 2,000 years, is now in our hands. You know, this is probably the best-selling book in all of history. And I know I myself, I've got literally dozens of different translations and copies of God's holy word in my house. Now, I take those off the shelf on occasion because I'm preparing sermons. I like to read God's holy word and how he speaks to me. But prior to being a Christian, and there was a time in my life when I was not a Christian, prior to becoming a Christian, I had a few different copies of God's word and never opened them, never read them. But one day, my wife got a job at a Christian daycare, and she had an hour for lunch and thought it was just a lot of time. And she said, these women at this daycare, they're very nice and they study the Bible. And she said, I think what I'm going to do on my lunch break is sit in my car and read the Bible. She bought herself a copy of the Bible, the Women's Devotional Bible, and started reading it every single day. And inspired by her, I took one of the Bibles that I had off the shelf, blew the dust off of it, you know, and I looked in the back. There was a plan for reading the entire Bible in a year. And I said, you know what, I'm going to do this. It's like 3 or 4 chapters every day, and I'll just start reading it. Starting at Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Start right there and go all the way through. And in less than a year's time, I had read the entire Bible. Now, friends, I want to tell you something. God's timing is God's timing, and God's timing is perfect. I picked up that Bible on October 31st, 2007. I finished that Bible on October 4th of 2008. And on October 5th, 2008, I got on my knees and I gave my life to Jesus Christ. God's timing is perfect. He put me in a place where I could be called to Him. You know, I think about how I treated God over the years. I think about all the things that I said about Him and said to Him. The deplorable things that I said about God. I denied God's existence for many years. I said, there's no God. Not only that, but people who believe in God are weak and they need a crutch. And I believed that. But that's not true. It's just not true. And it's not even so much that we need God. But God wants us. God wants us. He loves us. We are that pearl of great price. He gave all that He had to obtain us. And He loves us. Oh, He loves us. He loves us so much that He gave His Son to die on a cross for us, for our sins. The book of Romans tells us that God's love for us is demonstrated in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't love us because we were good. He didn't love us because we were deserving of His love. He didn't love us even because we did anything that merited His love. He loved us because we were His. He created us. He made us. He breathed life into us. And He loved us. And He loves us still. And if there's nothing else that you get out of this message today, the one thing I want you to know is that God loves you. God loves you. God thinks you are the pearl of great price. You are the pearl of great price. And He sold everything He had to get you. And think about this. God created the universe. He created the universe so that He could make the Milky Way. And He made the Milky Way so that He could make our sun. And He made our sun so that He could make our planet Earth. And He made our planet Earth so that He could make people. And He made people so that He could make you. And He made you so that He could love you. That's our God. That is our Lord, and that is our Savior. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank You for this message today. We thank You, Lord, that You love us. We thank You, Lord, that You considered us to be that pearl of great price. We love You, Lord, and we give our lives to You. We thank You for everything that You have called us to and everything that we are to You, that You never give up on us, that You never stop loving us. And as Paul's writing told us, that nothing can separate us from the love of God through Christ Jesus, our Lord. And it's in His name that we pray. Amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. If you live in the Salem County area, you can join us in person. Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn holds its worship service every Sunday at 9 a.m. and Hudson United Methodist Church in Pedricktown holds its worship service at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. If our message has touched you in some way, won't you let us know in the comments? We hope you'll join us again for Guerrilla Christianity. God bless you.